theatre stars John Hayes and David Woods are returning to the Sydney stage with Give Me Your Love. It's the second installment of Ridiculousness's experiment to presenting mental health in new ways. And it is showing as part of the Big Anxiety Festival. And David Woods joins you on the line now. Good morning, David. How are you going?
Very good, thank you.
For those who haven't heard, what is Ridiculousness all about?
Ridiculousness, that's a theatre company. We've been making plays for 25 years, based in Battersea Arts Centre in London, and now kind of exploded to kind of global level with me based here in Australia and John sort of between Bangkok and elsewhere and our publicist in Buenos Aires and all this kind of thing. But we tour small-scale plays, and of late they've been on relevant sort of themes of relevance to social justice, and there's a trilogy of works, which the piece that we're touring to Sydney next week, or not Monday, but a week Monday, has been all about innovative approaches to contemporary mental health problems. So we've looked at things like the open dialogue approach for working with psychoses, contemporary ways for working with complicated grief, and then also in the work that's coming to the Seymour Centre, post-traumatic stress disorder and MDMA-assisted therapy.
Now, Give Me Your Love, your latest play. This one is the latter, am I correct?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So what is it, how does it come into it, basically, and what's it really about, I should say?
Yeah, it's, you know that thing where you get a rash on your arm and you start looking on the internet for what it might be, and within about five clicks you're convinced that you're going to die?
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine that you've got a sort of mental disorder like post-traumatic stress with a huge range of symptoms, including anxiety, insomnia, irritability, sort of maybe some substance abuse or self-medication of various sorts. And in amongst all that, you come across a not-yet-legal treatment, which uses what you think is the street drug ecstasy, or at least that's the way the media is portraying it.
Mm.
And, you know, you chat to your mate on the phone about it, and he says, oh, I can get you some ecstasy, and we can do this, you know. And that's the show, basically. It's the worst kind of DIY stroke self-medication that you could imagine, with two characters who are experiencing post-traumatic stress. One of them claims to have cured himself through doing this self-medicated therapy, and he's trying to persuade his mate to do it as well. And so you discover my character hiding in a cardboard box in a sort of washed out room where it looks like his family's upped and left him, and he's sort of taken refuge in a packing box, and his friend comes to the door, as he seems to do on a regular basis, and sort of talk him out of it, but he won't let him in. He'll just let him as far as the safety chain on the door. So the whole play is an exchange between one person who's hiding in a box and another one who's locked outside the door. And he succeeds in delivering him a tab of street-sourced ecstasy, which may or may not contain the MDMA that the therapy that they've heard about uses. And they attempt this psychotherapy of their own variety through that sort of threshold of the locked door and the cardboard box. So in a way, I suppose it's a kind of a sort of fable saying, you know, if you're going to get into this stuff, kind of do it properly. But in the case of the MDMA, of course, it's not yet legal.
No.
So, you know, you can't do that. And people who are in desperate situations, as our characters are, or certainly my character is, you know, we'll try anything in order to free themselves of these sort of demons. The trials now, I mean, it's already at phase two stage in the US, so it's highly likely that within a handful of years it will become a prescription drug in the United States, but only when it's associated with this particular kind of therapy, which is administered by two therapists.
Yep.
Sitting either side of you on a sort of futon, very relaxed kind of futon couch with relaxing music and, you know, a sort of unlimited amount of time in order to achieve these, this dialogue, which is really what it's all about, is achieving this sort of sweet spot where the therapeutic alliance is very strong and the patient feels comfortable about talking about their traumas, which are, you know, impossible to access for the people with PTSD. That's what you call treatment resistant or chronic treatment resistant post-traumatic stress. So, yeah, that's where it's up to in the world. The UK are also doing a trial with a variation on it, in that the patient is in an MRI scanner while it's happening, and they track the sort of chemical reactions and so on in synapses in their brain while they're on the drug, and listening to a recording of their own trauma, which is quite a different sort of situation to the American trial, where the therapists are encouraging you to talk about your traumas. Mm. So, and I'm not entirely sure who speaks this traumatic story, and, you know, is it an actor? Is it the actual person themselves? To what degree have they talked about it? You know, and how does being in this sort of noisy machine affect all of that? Anyway, so, yeah, I mean, we've been with psychotherapists, psychologists and so on that have talked about this sort of sweet spot for some people might be achieved through having a nice glass of wine, you know?
Yeah.
Or looking at a beautiful view of a sunset on a beach or something. But, yeah, our guys have heard about and read about this MDMA. They think they know about it because they've come out of that sort of era of party drugs and so on, and think this will be a nice way, you know, of achieving this breakthrough.
Well.
But, yeah, it doesn't go well for them. Or let's say they have mixed results.
Well, I can imagine, and if it's going from the street level.
Yeah. So you're never quite sure what my guy's actually taken, but there are elements of therapy involved in their dialogue, and you can kind of see how it might work, you know. And yeah, you know, it's a work of art. It's not a lecture about this stuff. It's informed by all of that. And, you know, we did interviews with a lot of people who've been through the trials, but also soldiers who hadn't done any trials and were, you know, finding it very difficult to talk about this sort of thing. And also, you know, informed by life experience of counseling family members, in my case, through chronic anxiety, bipolarity, you know, delusional kind of thinking while suffering from bipolarity.
Yeah.
You know, so all of that is kind of absorbed into this artwork, which is, you know, almost kind of Beckettian in its extreme staging, but yet remains, you know, a believable naturalistic setting.
Absolutely. Well,
so, yeah, that's it. I rambled there a bit. But.
All good. Well, Dave, unfortunately we've run out of time, but thank you so much for joining us. Following your performance on November 1st, so you'll be joined with doctor and artist Renee Olim, as well as psychiatric nurse Rosie Gallagher and an ex-soldier, to talk more. So if people are interested, do head along to that November 1st performance to find out more.